Apparently, Charles Robinson, too, as part of that podcast appearance with Andrew Siciliano, Max, said, because several people have sent it to me, that no other team would pay Terry $30-plus million. See if you can find that piece of it. But we've got Mike Jones on with us right now, so maybe he knows. Mike Jones is, of course, a national NFL writer for The Athletic. For many years, covered our team for The Washington Post. At By Mike Jones on X, on Twitter. He joins us right now. Let's start with it. We were just talking for the last hour and a half. Some fans think that, you know, this contract saga, the holdout, has kind of killed the vibe. It hasn't for me. That's my view. But what do you know? Where do you think this is right now with Terry?
Yeah, I don't think it's killed the vibe for the team either. Obviously, yes, they would like to have him on the field so they could be working on the chemistry, continuing to improve and sharpen the chemistry between Terry and Jaden, and then the dynamic of him and Debo being on the field together. But the other guys are getting their work done. They know that it's business. They know that this is something that, okay, they can only control what they control, and they're focusing on their own jobs. And also, they understand that, look, Terry knows this offense. He's in all the meetings. He's in, you know, all the sessions, so he's not going to be coming into this thing blind. Obviously, they want it done as soon as possible. It may be dragging on longer than they thought, but I still think that it's something that they're going to get done before the start of the season. You know, how much is it going to be? Yeah, I don't think it would exceed 30. From what I've been able to gather, I think between 27 and 29 million per year would be the figure. Obviously, he wants more than that, but I mean, I've checked in with a lot of different talent evaluators around the league, and a lot of people say, hey, he's very good, he's highly productive, but he's probably in that top 7 to top 12 range. They don't see him as a top 5 wide receiver. And so I don't think that he'd have luck commanding that, you know, excess of $30 million per year.
I keep saying, Michael, look, the worst case is he plays his final year of his contract. I mean, it would be a big risk for him to hold out going into his age 30 season. The chance of, you know, increasing the possibilities of a big deal next offseason if you're holding out, they aren't that great. That's not commonsensical to me. What do you say about the worst case in terms of how this plays out?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think he needs to play. I think that obviously, again, best case is they get this thing hammered out and he's got a new deal. The worst case would be him not playing, deciding that he's going to hold out the rest of the season. Then you're losing a year, and you're losing money. And it, again, that doesn't help drive up your value for next year. It would be counterproductive. Again, you're about to be 30. This is one of your prime seasons. This is a year that you need to play. And so I worry about the advice that he's getting from his agent, talking to a number of people. Right. It sounds like, yeah, it's too bad he doesn't have somebody else in his ear, because it doesn't seem like he's getting a lot of wise counsel on this. But again, both sides need to come off of, something. They need to give a little bit and find a compromise to get this thing done.
Talking to Mike Jones, of course, the vibe can't get killed for me because Dan's not here, and we have an elite quarterback. You've seen, and I'm sure you have followed, The Athletic just did theirs. Mike Sando did his recently, kind of the tiered quarterbacks, the ranking of the quarterbacks. Where do you place Jaden Daniels?
I mean, he's up there. I mean, if you're in a tier, I'm not going to put him in tier one, but tier two definitely makes a lot of sense. I'm working on a thing where I've asked a lot of talent evaluators to rate the top 25 players, 25 and under, and a lot of people have Jaden Daniels as number two, or at least in their top five. He is a legit game-changing quarterback.
Who's number one under 25 if he's two?
Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay, Chase.
Right now. And then some people have Jalen Carter. You know, both of those, you're in really good company if you're up there with them. But he's a legit difference maker. And I think that he's only going to get better because of just the accuracy and the way that he works. And so, you know, we'll see how far he can take this team. It's going to be challenging to top last year. You know, I think that the roster is better, but you had a lot of late game heroics. You know, it was at six straight games of the final play. You know, maybe they're hoping that it doesn't come down to those, but I think this is still a 10-win season, and I think that he can continue to get better and will.
Talking to Mike Jones. So where does that land in the division? Behind Philly?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Dallas, if Dak Prescott's healthy and if they have Micah Parsons taken care of, I think Dallas is going to be better. I think that it'll be kind of a back and forth, you know, between Dallas and Washington, duking it out for that number two spot behind Philly. Again, that's if everybody stays healthy. Obviously, Philly's got some injury on their offensive line now. But they also have very good depth on that offensive line as well. And so they continue to invest in their defensive front. They've got a lot of young, really highly impactful guys there on the defensive front, on their defensive back end. They have, you know, the best running back in football. They still have Jalen Hurts, who, say what you want about him, he makes the plays when he needs to. And so they are still the favorites to win the division in my mind. And so it's a matter of how much Dallas bounces back and then how much Washington is able to continue to improve despite a tougher schedule that will really determine things.
How does the Micah Parsons situation play out?
I mean, I think like on the week leading into the season or the week before that, Jerry finally opens the paycheck, the checkbook.
Why does he do it that way?
Because we're talking about the Cowboys, you know, like, he is got all kinds of eyeballs on them, and this is what he does. He's done it before. It costs him money. If he had taken care of this last year, he wouldn't be having to top the deal that T.J. Watt just got from the Steelers and make Micah Parsons the highest-paid defensive player in the history of the game. You know, but Jerry loves being talked about, even if it's a soap opera, even if it's dysfunctional. He's still in the forefront, and that's what he cares about.
So you see Philly winning the division. They are the favorite. You see Washington and Dallas, if Dallas is healthy, battling it out for what would be a very competitive second if you've got Washington winning 10 games. What do you think of the Giants? When does Jackson Dart take over, if at all, in year one?
Yeah, that's the real question because I just don't know how much Russell Wilson has left. That's the big determiner. Now, I don't think that they are anywhere, even if Russell Wilson plays very well, I don't think that they're better than Dallas or Washington. I think they can be pesky. I think they can, you know, kind of give some teams trouble and then just fall short. So we'll see how things go for them. If they get off to a slow start and we're at midseason and it doesn't look like they're going to be able to do anything, then they probably turn to Dart.
Yeah, I mean, I look at that Giant roster, and I felt this way for a couple of years, especially about their defense. But, you know, the addition of Malik Nabers last year, that offensive line growing into a decent offensive line. I thought Tyrone Tracy was underrated as a rookie last year. Mm-hmm. If they get quarterback figured out, pesky's probably the good word for it. Like, they're not going to be an easy out week in and week out.
Right. And Brian Daboll is very creative. He's been limited by what he's had to work with, but he's a good coach. He's a good offensive mind. And so I think that, again, they've got some holes here and there on their roster, but I think that he can help maximize their talents if they have a serviceable quarterback and they can improve and just not be pushovers.
All right, let's take it out a little bit further and wider as it relates to the NFC, because you've got, and I think a lot of people feel like Washington and Philadelphia are safe bets to be playoff contenders and maybe playoff teams. You're not the first person who has said the Cowboys, if they stay healthy, this could be a big bounce back year for them. What about the rest of the conference? Like, how do you see it? Philly, I'm assuming you think is the favorite in the NFC and you like them as the favorite. Who's next after them? Who pushes them the most?
The NFC North is going to be really intriguing because, obviously, Detroit is still super talented, but you lost your offensive coordinator and your defensive coordinator in the same year, and I don't think that you can just do that without a hiccup. Yes, they've been grooming their defensive coordinator behind Aaron Glenn for this time. So maybe it's more of a seamless transition. But again, first time guy doing it, calling the plays. And offensively, yes, they have a guy that's got similar philosophies. He is from the Sean Payton tree, which so is Dan Campbell. But again, Ben Johnson was a mad scientist, and so he's gone. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on Jared Goff. So I would not be surprised if the Lions take a little bit of a step backwards. I also think the Packers can leapfrog them. I think they'll be better this year. And so who's behind Philly is going to be a really crowded bunch, because also I had thought that the Rams could be up there giving them a run for their money, but now we have this back issue with Matthew Stafford that puts them in a really precarious position. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a team that they just continue to add through the draft and continue to improve. I was down there week before last, and Todd Bowles was talking about how their defense is finally healthy. He did a lot of duct taping things together. And
yeah, he did last year. Secondary in particular.
Right, right. And so now if he's got those guys back and they're healthy, he said, man, we could do a lot more. And so, you have Baker Mayfield, who's very comfortable with those guys leading their offense. So I think that the Bucs could be a team that's right up there near the front.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Rams, too, roster-wise. What do you make of the Niners? If they're healthy, what is their upside?
Well, the thing is, they've got a lot of young guys. Remember, they purged a lot of veterans. Yep. And so now they have young guys stepping into very prominent roles, which can be good. But again, there could be some hiccups and growing pains and things like that. So I think that they're well coached. Kyle Shanahan gets the most out of them. They have Robert Saleh back as their defensive coordinator. He's a great leader and very creative. So I think they're going to get a lot out of them, but I feel like to expect that they'll win their division if the Rams are healthy, I don't think that's happening. Now, say Matthew Stafford, midway through the season, that back is he's just not right. Then I think that the 49ers have a chance, but you also have to look. Arizona has been building. They've got continuity. Kyler Murray's in the third year of this system. Last year he had a full season. The year before that, he played halfway through the year because of his knee surgery. So they've been gradually building something there in Arizona, and maybe this is a year that they could take advantage of a slip-up by the Rams if, the injury bug does hit them. But it's going to be interesting. Again, I don't think the 49ers will be awful, but I don't know that we can expect that they could win that division this year given all the youth that they have.
How much patience is justifiable for Caleb Williams this year and playing for Ben Johnson? I say that and I'm like, well, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Bo Nix, these guys did it year one, and showed something in year one. I go ahead and answer the question, but is there going to be any patience for him?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be patient because you just, like, they gave up a lot to get up there to get him. He's the number one overall pick. Last year he was also in a very bad situation. He had three different play callers. He thought he could play hero ball like a USC, and he learned the hard way that you can't do that in the NFL, where defensive linemen are just as fast as you are. And so he's having to learn not only a new language, but a new way of doing things, better decision making, and it's going to be a process. Ben Johnson is very creative, but he's also demanding, and Caleb Williams is going to have to learn. So they did do the right thing in investing in their offensive line. They've also invested in their defense, but it's going to be a process for him. He might struggle out of the gates, but that doesn't mean that, oh, he's a bust. It just might take a little time. This is going to be a reset for him, a learning year, and then we'll see what he can do for them next year.
I mean, there's a pretty decent supporting cast for him.
Right. Yeah. And so the pressure is on him. But again, you have to remember just how ridiculously bad their situation was last year. And that, okay, starting over, young guy, trying to break bad habits and, you know, play within a system.
All right, last one for Mike Jones. Who's this year's version of Washington? 4-13 to something great. You know, a bad team, an expected bad team, but they end up shocking the NFL and they make the postseason.
I think the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have a lot of talent, young talent. Last year and the year before last, I felt like Doug Peterson, and we saw this in Philly too, I felt like he won the Super Bowl and then kind of just was very complacent after that. He didn't further evolve as a coach in his tactics. He did well his first year in Jacksonville because things were so awful under Urban Meyer. But after that first year, they didn't take another step forward. Now they have Liam Cohen, who's a young, hungry, really creative and very strong communicator. His offensive concepts really are built on making things easier for your quarterback, and that's exactly what Trevor Lawrence needs. They have pieces on defense, young pieces. They, again, have, added some more talent with Travis Hunter, who's going to be intriguing. So I think that they really underachieved the last 2 years, and they have an opportunity to bounce back, contend for that division, and make the playoffs.
Thank you, as always. Hope you're well. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Good talking to you.
Mike Jones, everybody. NFL Talk on the Team 980 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long with Paramount Plus. Just go to ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
All right, the Washington Commanders have announced that they are signing veteran safety Daryl Worley. The 30-year-old journeyman has spent time in Carolina, Oakland, Dallas, Vegas, Detroit, Baltimore, and Tennessee. Now he looks to make an impact in Washington. Also looking to make an impact, the team has announced that they are signing former Dolphins wide receiver River Craycraft, and that they have released wide receiver Mike Strachan. Dan Quinn also mentioned this morning that the joint practice with the Baltimore Ravens has been canceled. Coach cites that they just couldn't make the timing work, but this snag will not affect plans versus the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday night. A couple of teams being sold around the world of sports. The NBA has approved the sale of the Boston Celtics to the private equity group led by Bill Chisholm for a record $6.1 billion, making it the biggest sale of a franchise in sports history, eclipsing the Josh Harris Group's $6.05 billion that they paid for the Washington Commanders. And the Nats, they avoid the sweep last night, beating the Kansas City Royals by a score of 8-7. Jake Irvin with a rough start to the day, only 4 innings pitched and 7 hits, giving up 6 earned runs. Fortunately, the Nats were able to jump out to an early 5-run lead and put it away in the top of the ninth with the Dalen Lyle RBI single. Tonight, they come home to take on the Philadelphia Phillies. Brad Lord expected to be on the bump. First pitch at 6:45. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.